Welcome into the game. Tyler Dreiling and Brennan Mentz is the crew with you this afternoon. John Kurtz is headed over to Manhattan High Basketball tonight from Topeka West High School in our state's capital. You'll be able to catch both the boys and the girls in action here on News Radio KMAN coming up later on this evening, so stay tuned for that. We've got an action-packed show for you today. We'll be joined by Cole Manbeck in the second hour, getting up to speed on K-State's latest recruiting news. Of course, tomorrow is National Signing Day. We will have our PowerCat Game Day recruiting special for you tomorrow, but getting up to the minute informed on what has happened over the last couple days. There's been some activity within K-State's war room. K-State basketball looking to bounce back tomorrow against TCU after a disappointing performance in the Big 12 SEC Challenge in Knoxville, Tennessee against the Volunteers over the weekend. We will hear from CBS NFL draft expert Dane Brugler, who has a lot of high praise for Jordan Willis and other Wildcats that are hoping to get drafted coming up in the next couple of months. We'll also go around college basketball and check in on the hot stove as the Royals were able to add some help at the DH spot over the course of the weekend. 537-1350, 866-776-1350 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. We're going to start out by talking about K-State basketball and what they are now facing after that loss to Tennessee. Of course, the Wildcats 15-6 with that loss. They are still 4-4 in conference play. It did not hurt them very much in terms of the computers. Their RPI has actually gone up over the past few days thanks to some of their other opponents from earlier this season playing very good basketball, Oklahoma State being one of them, Colorado State being another. So K-State's RPI is now at 43. And in the latest bracketology from Joe Lenardi that came out yesterday, you may be surprised to know that K-State went from being a 10 seed last week, then they had an 0-2 week, and they are a 9 seed now. Their NCAA tournament prognosis has actually improved slightly if you want to look at the seeding, although the Wildcats have dropped back into what he defines as the bubble. They are in that last four byes category before you get to the last four in and then the first four out and so on and so forth. So that's where K-State sits right now in terms of the NCAA tournament. It's not an ideal spot. They certainly have had their opportunities to be in a position where they have no doubt about their NCAA tournament hopes whatsoever. But as it is, they face a TCU team tomorrow that is also right there on the bubble. TCU is in Lenardi's last four in. We're going to get into more of that when we go around college basketball, but winning games head-to-head against other bubble teams from your conference is so very important, and we're going to have to see if K-State is able to do that. They should have the help of being a little bit healthier than they were against Tennessee. Dean Wade has had his issues improve by having a couple days to rest now. The same with Kamau Stokes. So you would think that the Wildcats would be more at full strength, which they're going to need to be against a pretty solid TCU team that is 14-7 and 3-5 in the Big 12. But to me, the big thing for this team moving forward as they enter this very daunting stretch, I mean, at TCU, that's a game that you have to win because of what follows it up. If you're K-State and you look at that schedule after this TCU game at home, you've got at Baylor versus KU, at West Virginia in your next three games. Those are three games in a row against teams that are ranked in the top seven in the country. Maybe you can get that win over KU on your home court, but if you're going to look at it realistically, I mean, the odds would not favor you to win any of those three games, which means that you absolutely have to beat TCU, because if you were to lose that one and then lose the next three, that is suddenly a six-game losing streak that you would be on, and that would be very difficult to overcome for the NCAA tournament. But to K-State's credit, and Bruce Weber met with the media earlier today at the basketball training facility, he said that yesterday's practice was the best practice that his team has had all season. He loved the energy out of them. He thinks that there is a fire in them, and they are not in that mood that would suggest that they're seeing their season spiraling the drain or anything like that. I think a lot of K-State fans, well, I shouldn't say a lot, some K-State fans feel that way, but the team doesn't, and I think that they understand how significant tomorrow's game is, and it's going to be interesting to see how they come out and what kind of fire they have, because this is a TCU squad that certainly does not have the name on the jersey that would get your attention, but because of where they are, being a fellow bubble team and in your own conference, not to mention the importance of winning on your home floor, if you're K-State, Brennan, this is a game that you absolutely have to win, and if you don't, then maybe you will start to see the season go into a downward spiral.
Absolutely, and you mentioned, I mean, if you look at if K-State can't get past TCU and fail to win any other three games in the gauntlet past that, you, as you said, you're looking at a six-game losing streak, and off the top of my head, I believe there's only one team that has made the NCAA tournament as an at-large bid that has had a six-game or longer losing streak, and that was Oklahoma State with Marcus Smart a few years back. So, point is, it doesn't happen very often, and if that's where K-State snowballs to, you're probably looking at an NIT team right there.
Yeah, I think you probably would be, and as people know, I've always been on the more optimistic side in regards to this team. I think that they're still in a pretty decent position. I didn't expect a week ago, as we were sitting here, I didn't expect K-State to look as good as they do in the NCAA tournament outlook if they had gone 0-2 last week, if that makes sense. I thought that if they had gone 0-2, they would be in pretty deep trouble. But there's two different things it's really just one big thing that has made that not the case. It's the fact that this is a weak bubble this year. And it's been a weak bubble really for the past several years. But it's not just about what K-State does, if they win or if they lose. It's about what those other teams, those other 12, 14, 16 teams that are all in that same boat with you, what they are doing as well. And there are a lot of teams that had worse weeks than K-State did last week. Even though K-State went 0-2, they went 0-2 with those two losses being true road games against top 50 teams. That's not going to hurt you very much in the computers. But that doesn't change the importance of tomorrow's game against TCU. As you mentioned, it's not very common for a team to lose six games in a row and go on to win or go on to make the NCAA tournament. I don't totally want to write off K-State's chances in those following three games, but I'm just looking at it from a mathematical perspective and what Vegas is going to put the lines on those games. I mean, K-State is not going to be a favorite. Their best chance would be against KU at home. Looking at TCU, at the opponent a little bit more in depth, in speaking of teams that really need a win, I think you are going to see the best shot out of the Horned Frogs tomorrow, because they have lost four games in a row. That is a team that had a lot of momentum up until a couple weeks ago. People were loving what Jamie Dixon was doing down there in his first year, and I mean, they still are. They are still a solid team, but they need a win in a game like this to keep their NCAA tournament hopes alive. They have lost four straight to Texas Tech, Baylor, Oklahoma State, and then losing at home to Auburn in the Big 12 SEC Challenge over the weekend, I think was a really big indication that they may not be quite the team that they at one point had looked like they were or had hoped that they were. By losing that game to a pretty mediocre SEC team on the road, and that's one of the, or excuse me, at home, that's one of the games you could look at to say that's why the Big 12 split the Big 12 SEC Challenge 5-5 instead of winning it. I think the biggest one you would look at, yeah, K-State didn't take care of their business either, but TCU was at home against a team that's on basically on Tennessee's level in Bruce Pearl's Auburn Tigers, and they were unable to win either. So that's what things look like tomorrow for K-State and TCU. I want to go through and explain what the schedule is going to be like tomorrow, because it's going to be a crazy day with it being National Signing Day. We are going to have the Powercat Game Day recruiting special. That will start at 3 o'clock here on News Radio KMAN. That will go until 4:30. And then at 4:30. We will have PowerCat game day for K-State and TCU up until 5:30. Then it's K-State Sports Network coverage until tip-off, which is a weird tip-off time for K-State tomorrow. It's at 6:30 at Bramlage Coliseum.
And may I also mention this just coming down from management. K-State men's and women's both tip-off at 6:30. Different locations, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Men are going to be on 115 K-Rock. Women will be here on News Radio KMAN. So that is a note that it was just passed down to me about half an hour ago.
Okay, so we will have PowerCat game day going up from 4:30 to 5:30, and then I assume it'll be women's pregame that starts at 5:30 to 6:30 until the women tip off.
Actually, women's pregame starts at 6. I'm not exactly sure how that gap will be bridged. But
well, it's still fluid
we'll figure
for
it
us,
out.
Too. But
we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we're working through that as well. It is an odd day. I'm going to be over at Vanier Football Complex tomorrow at 2:30 for Bill Snyder's press conference announcing K-State's signing class. There have been some developments with that over the last 48 hours, and there are going to be, up until we get to that press conference, there are still four or five names, a couple of them very high priority, high profile guys that have not yet announced. There was one yesterday that was Evan Fields announcing that he has decided to go to Arizona State instead of K-State. K-State was in the running for a really, really good high school safety, borderline 3- or 4-star kid that had opportunities with TCU, Oregon, Notre Dame, Arizona State, K-State. He decides to take his talents to Tucson, so they miss out there. But some other good news along that same front. We will be talking about that coming up later in today's show as well. So we're going to head to our first break. When we come back, you're going to hear a conversation that John had earlier today. I mentioned that John is on his way over to Topeka West High School for MHS Hoops tonight. He caught up with CBS NFL draft expert Dane Brugler, and you will hear their conversation as they talk about Jordan Willis and other K-State hopefuls in the NFL draft. That's coming up next on The Game.